Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host and lifelong wayward woman, Dr. Lindsay Byron. Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Tuesday. We're doing two a week. Guys, I hope you like that. We love it. It's a perfect medium. It's not one a week. It's not four a week. It's two a week. How do you guys feel about that? Anya and Noah are here. It's good. It's a good amount, right? Two a week?
Dodgy.
Oh, so Anya's been watching a lot of Love is Blind Brazil, and that is the... that's how I think... That's how Portuguese sounds to me. They say dodgy, a lot. And I got into watching Love is Blind Brazil, and they don't say it as much as I thought. I forget. I remember it was the movie Citizen 4. Remember that movie about Edward Snowden?
Yeah. Yes.
And one of the journalists in it, Glenn Greenwald, is Portuguese and was talking it. And I was like, there's so many oji dojis. And then that's where I formulated that stereotype. And then it's not. But Portuguese is a beautiful language. I've been watching Love is Blind Brazil. Anya, have you watched new episodes or have they come out yet?
I think they're coming out tomorrow, the last ones.
Okay. I might not even finish the show because I don't.
What?
So the reason that I don't feel like I'll watch new ones is because I don't care. Like, you know, like if they would have just released them all, I would have probably gone right into I would have watched them all. But this like sparingly handing them out, I don't know if it's the right move, Netflix. I've already lost interest in everyone. Halfway through watching Love is Blind Brazil, having to pay ardent attention to all of the subtitles yeah. because you cannot be on your phone watching the show because there's oji dojis and you don't know what any of it is. And you don't realize how much you watch these reality shows like half-assed until away the language that you speak. And then I had the subtitles up. And so I'd have to pause it and go back. And you know, it would just be some worthless information. Like, she just said, like, her favorite color is green or something. And I had to go back and be like, what got miscommunicated here? So then I switched over to English dub over. And that changed everything. Except, you know, it takes away... Their voices in Portuguese are kind of muted. You could still hear it. But it takes away from it a little bit to have like different voices of the people.
How are the voiceover actors? Are they pretty effective or is it like...
They're effective.
Okay, good.
I thought it would be like, you know, anime dub where it's just like so not with the like it's overacting or something. But it was pretty...
I was furious at him.
Yes. Exactly. It was, but I don't know. It's, I was drawn to it because on the girls chat, you were telling us that you loved it because you could see the differences in what different cultures were like into and what they celebrated and how they communicated. Yes. Versus watching Love is Blind American. Like, what did you find? And let me just see if I co-sign on that.
Well, first of all, a lot of the women are tattooed and guys what? Seem to love it. Yeah, they have like some girls have like chest tattoos. Remember the bigger girl? She had a lot of tattoos, like torso, chest, some arms.
Okay, on the one first girl season. Had tattoos.
No, they, once they get into their swimsuits, you'll see more.
Oh, yeah. We haven't gotten the swimsuits because they went on their honeymoon, their like post-engagement what? Honeymoon to the Amazon rainforest. And which let me just so tell funny. You, if you want to see the weirdest, okay, everyone has to watch this. Go watch Love is Blind Brazil. I wish I had the minute mark. When they tell these people who are from Brazil that they are going to be spending their engagement honeymoon, you know, after they get engaged, they're going to go off on a vacation to test the waters. And they tell them it's going to be in the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, by the way. And they
around the
lose
corner.
Their fucking minds. I've never it was honestly like telling a bunch of men they were going to go to space, because I would say just people, but women don't want to fucking go to space. There's like three of us that want to go.
The equivalent of the confusion I feel watching The Bachelor or Bachelorette, whenever they reveal they're going to take them on a helicopter ride, they're like screaming, who is excited to take a helicopter?
I mean, I've taken one before and I just go, should I get a picture before I die? Like, am I in a good enough condition right now? Do I look cute enough that this can be the final photo that runs on Daily Mail tomorrow? And gets pushed down to like the 20th story after everyone gets over my death.
But also, like, is it romantic to be in the loudest mode of transport ever with
wind?
It's kind of
nice. It's like being in the club, dude. You can't talk. That's why clubs are great. There's no communication. It's all body language. You got to get real close to each other to talk. I always wondered why clubs were so fucking loud. And it's because people got to get up in each other's ears.
Yeah.
To there's intimacy locked into like communicating in the club, and you don't have to talk because no one in there has anything interesting to say anyways. Like, you know, and that's the excruciating part about first dates is like, what are we going to talk about? You know, like keeping that convo going. And I'm a conversationalist by trade, and I would even stress about it. So
do you
I think
like a first
ride.
Date in a like a movie theater. Where you don't have to talk, but you can talk afterwards
no,
about
because
the movie?
Yes, if I don't like the guy, sure. But if I like the guy, I'm just like, I want to chat all night, all day long, you know? And I get annoyed. Like, Chris and I were talking, actually, yesterday I did his radio show, and you can listen to it on, we did like an after show podcast, but you can listen to it on the Courtney show. The show itself streams, and then we did a podcast for afterwards where I talked about more intimate things. But we were talking about, she can't watch TV with her partner sometimes because he snipes the whole time. He's making fun of it the whole time. He has comments the entire show. And she's like, I have to purposely watch shows without him when he's gone because I can't stand the sniping because it ruins a show for me. I like find out this person's a bad actor. I found out they do a weird tick or they whisper the whole time. There's this show that she can't watch now because he was like, they whisper the whole time. She goes, God, they do whisper, but she would never have noticed it. And then I was like, oh, I'm so grateful I have a partner who constantly wants to talk during shows with me. Now movie, and I told that to him yesterday. I was like, you love talking. Like, have I ever annoyed you during a TV show? Please let me know because I can be a little much. We all know that. And if I have enough caffeine and I'm in the right mood, it's dick. But I always pause the show. And sometimes he talks and I'll pause it and he goes, you don't need to pause it. And because it's good, you know, we have a good communication. I don't want to watch a show if I can't snipe. I can't watch things alone, as you guys know. And then but he said, if we go to the theater, I hate people talking in the theater because it's rude to others around us. Right. And I do get that. So at the theater, I talk very, very quietly and I pick my battles. I don't like get my phone out. I'm very courteous of others, but I will whisper in his ear, I don't want Elvis to die. That's one thing I did say during Elvis, because I had taken a little too much microdosing that day, and I really didn't want Elvis to die.
I remember that day.
And I knew he was going to.
I remember getting texts from you. You're like, I'm crying so much during Elvis. You have to watch it. And then later, like a couple days later, you're like, I'm watching Elvis again, and I'm weeping again.
No, I loved it so much. And I don't even know if it was a mushroom. I really, there are certain things. I was, you know, microdosing that day, but there are certain things that do, and microdosing, if you don't know, it can amplify the laughter, and it can amplify your gratitude, it can amplify emotions, just to like a tinge. It's not like I'm like wackadoo, so it may have had an effect on it, but I liked it. I mean, I think that's there's another movie that I did that too in eighth grade, and I was not microdosing. I had maybe had like too much sugar that day or something from the sweet factory, or like, you know, eaten 14. I macrodosed peach rings. Those sugar peach rings are those long strips of just sugar. Yeah. City of Angels. The ending of that movie, I couldn't catch my breath. I was sobbing so hard. I don't know what the fuck was going on in my life that day, but it was eighth grade, and I remember my friends looking at each other like, I remember the credits were rolling and I couldn't get it together. I was just so sad they couldn't be together. Spoiler alert.
Meg Ryan.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Is that the one where she gets naked? No, that's with Mark Ruffalo. God, really? You gotta see that. Penis shot.
Meg Ryan gets naked?
Yeah, and he gets naked.
Oh, I love Mark Ruffalo. But I don't mind
more nude.
You don't like Snipe, but you like watching shows with me.
Oh, I love watching a show with you, because I just get in the mindset of like, I'm going to be entertained the whole time, and I get to partake too.
But you, when you watch, see, Love is Blind for me, I was texting you the whole time I was watching it.
That was so fun. Remember when we watched that murder doc otherwise. Together? I was peeing my pants.
It was so fun.
But if it's the Oscars, I need to be alone in an airtight room with nobody around, or like one other movie buff.
That's lame to me, honestly. Like, you really got to, what is going on at the Oscars that you need to really hear so much? Okay, so maybe like back when you were like a cinephile, but like,
honestly,
aren't you kind of over
Oscars.
The whole thing about everyone feels so self-important at these things, and that it's just this, don't you kind of roll your eyes at it now? Like, I used to put the Oscars up on the shelf too, but you go to these things and you just realize it's people playing dress up. It's not real. It's, and these people are just actors. Why are we acting like they're royalty? And again, royalty is even a construct that we've invented. Like, I just, you know, the slap last year was phenomenal. I don't know how they're going to top that, but that was,
I mean,
the Oscars have been wild. We had the slap, and then we also had, I remember thinking it couldn't get better than when they announced the wrong best picture. That was fucking great. Man, that was a flub I love to see. That was so fun.
Didn't that happen 2 years in a row? It was with like, I think then after the slap, there was the after slap of finding out which of your friends were like pro Will Smith and which ones were anti Will Smith. Oh, I almost lost a friend over that.
I know. It was a whole thing. Yeah.
It was that and felt like an assault on me, the Oscars of 2020.
It was. That was a break in everything we know to be true. It was like 9/11 in the sense of like, I didn't know something like this could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't know we could be, we'd never seen it in America. We'd never seen an attack like that. We didn't know it could happen.
I met someone whose sister died in 9/11.
I know.
I talked to him yesterday. So it's killing
me
that you're comparing the Oscars to 9/11.
It is comparable. And I think people will get my drift. It left you afterwards, the day after. I'm not saying it's tragic. Please don't misquote me. I'm saying it was just like, this can happen. Someone can walk on stage on live TV and slap another person. It was, I mean, you guys were there. You all remember. Like, and it's, I would say everyone remembers where they were. Another one of those things. Kennedy assassination, 9/11, Will Smith, Chris Rock.
Kurt Cobain's death. I was with my 80-year-old parents, and they're like, that was a joke. I'm like, that was not a joke.
Oh, it's like when people always go, is that a bit? When I have the most uncomfortable moment on stage of my life, if something happens unprompted, like the mic cord will drop out of the mic and I'll do nothing funny about it. They go, what is that planned? Oh, that moment where I shat myself on stage and then I ran off crying and then the show was delayed 45 minutes. That, oh, yep, great. That was a bit.
Like New Year's Eve, people were asking me at the merch booth, did Nikki plan to forget the last verse of the song? I was like, you'll never know.
Why would I do that?
It was hilarious because it was so funny. The way you vamped and you were trying to find the lyrics. You're like, hold on, logging into my Gmail.
Yeah, whenever that happens, I just, it's so funny when you like feel the audience feel nervous for you and then get
just
awkward.
All the buttholes clench.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you go, no. And then I would check in with myself and I go, I'm not nervous. I just have to look for this fucking email in front of 3,000 people. I just have to download my Gmail app and go to the app store while also creating dialogue while I'm doing it and making, you know, like, but I had to check in with myself and be like, am I nervous? Am I worried about this? Am I embarrassed of this? No. And so I say to the audience, like, I know this seems like it's embarrassing. I promise you, I decide that. It is not. I'm not embarrassed right now. I mean, I didn't say that in that many words, but there are times on stage where something, I'll seem to lose control of the audience. And if it really is embarrassing, you'll know, because I won't say that. But if it's not, I'll just be like, everyone calm down. Like, I know it seems awkward. I'm not awkward, so you should be.
You're just letting them know.
So much of embarrassment is, yeah, secondhand embarrassment for someone else. You just worry, like, oh my God, they're so awkward. Yeah, so Love is Blind Brazil. I don't know if I'll go back to it. I am knee deep in Prince Harry's book. I'm a third of the way through, 35%. That's why I like reading on my phone, because you can kind of get I like percentages. I like hard numbers. I read it. I mean, this book is gigantic too. I mean, I don't know how many pages it equates to in a normal book, but I think it's a thicky thick. And I probably read it for 4 hours last night, and I could not stop.
Did you know that the book was coming out when?
Yes. I got an alert on my phone. I pre-ordered it, and then all of a sudden I saw bloop, and it was like from Apple.
Did you know it was coming out when Meghan and Harry came out with their...
Yeah. No, I don't know that it was announced.
How weird that both things came out around the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have a PR. Well, this is the thing. Okay, here we go. Okay. You want to get me to get going on this?
Only if you say it as Julie Glazer.
Every reason we don't like Harry and Meghan... is because we think they're calculated. We go, oh, this is calculated. What is wrong with calculation? What is wrong with going, I want something, I'm gonna figure out a way to get it? Where did that become a bad thing? All I see on Instagram all day long is people like Jay Shetty and Ed Milet and fucking that one smart, the guy that talks about the stoic way. All they talk about is like, you gotta go after what you want. Fight for what you want. Never let up. Don't ever take any rejection. But the second a pretty woman and a prince get a PR company and do the right thing for themselves, because they're actually... Or the second prince, I am on a crusade for Meghan Markle. I am so tired of
that. I appreciate that.
It's true. What did she do wrong? Even if you say, oh, she wanted to be a royal, do you not want to be a fucking royal? If you happen to fall in love with a guy,
insane.
If you happen to fall in love with a guy who happened to be a prince, would you not? Think about the guy, you listener, or the girl, or them that you are in love with. Did you ever do anything to maybe get them to like you? Did you ever want maybe their attention and modify your look in a certain way, or show up late, or not respond to a text? We've all done it. We've all been calculated to get what we want in our careers, in our love lives. Meghan did the same thing we all do. Stop faulting her. You're jealous. And as someone who used to be jealous of her, I am now, I was part of the problem. I'm you. Everyone who doesn't like her, you're jealous. And I there's no other way about it. You can't really pinpoint why you don't like her. You don't like her because she seems to have everything handed to her. She seems to have connived her way into something. Prince Harry is such an upstanding young man who went through such a tragic loss, got no support for it, never once got a hug about it. Losing his mother from his father, not as much as a hug. Never was able to cry about it except one time where there were no cameras around. He cried one time about his mother. And then was shipped off to boarding school, had no comfort from his brother. His brother didn't want to even talk to him at boarding school. Classic boy thing. Then he went into the, he was hounded by paparazzi. He, at the age of 14, it was speculated that his mother had him with one of her bodyguards, which was impossible to even happen because she didn't know him before Harry was born. And, but the whole country thought he was a bastard child. He was already known as the spare. There's the heir and then there's the spare. He can't even fly. Him, his brother and his dad can't fly in the same jet because if that jet goes down, then they both die. And that's the heir and the king going down. And so Harry could always fly with either of them, though. He was a spare. That's what he was referred to within the family. And this kid, you read about his boot camp training. You read about him going to Afghanistan. You tell me this guy isn't fucking awesome. I am obsessed with him. I love Meghan Markle. I love Prince Harry. Maybe less on that when we get back right after this.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I'm on tour right now. So is Anya Marina with me. And we are all over the goddamn place. This weekend coming up, we got Albany, New York. We have two shows Friday. We have two shows Saturday in Portland, Maine. Next week, we have Kalamazoo, Michigan, Joliet. And then after that, we're going to be in New York, also New Haven, Connecticut. tons and tons of dates. It goes on and on into the spring. And then in Europe, if you're over there, check out my website, NikkiGlaser.com, for tickets. And as always, if you need a meet and greet and you can't afford one, they are included with VIP tickets. You can just message me on Instagram and I will hopefully get back to you and bump you up to a meet and greet. Yeah, so going on tour this weekend, back at it. I am excited to be out again. It's been nice to be home, though. It's been nice to just read books and take voice lessons and hang out with my niece and nephew and just do fucking nothing. But I do kind of miss the road. I miss traveling and sleeping in hotels and not knowing anyone in a city and having you don't have to do anything all day.
Yes.
You know, people write me and going like, come to our vegan cafe. Not going to happen. I don't want to, no new friends in the city. I'll meet you at the meet and greet. I don't want to do anything all day. I kind of want to be alone. I like being alone in cities.
I just did that. I took a solo trip to New York City. It was heaven. I went for 2 nights.
Yeah.
I ordered so much food. I saw one friend. I made one plan and then I had like one doctor's appointment and that was it. And it was the best to just be like, I'm going to order the same fucking thing I got last night and I'm going to be gross. And it was just so nice to just be alone and gross and free.
What did you watch?
I watched so much Love is Blind Brazil, which was worthless. But now at least I know Obrigada and Coração.
So the girls are tattooed. What else do you think the Brazilians like?
They give the women the option to propose, which they don't do in the States, which I think is super cool.
On the show or just in general?
Yeah. In the beginning, they're like, now you can be proposed to or you can also propose.
Yeah.
One person does.
I could propose and Chris would be cool
for with it. Sure. I could see you getting down on one knee.
I don't think he would be emasculated by that at all. I think he would kind of love it. So that's kind of nice to know. That's what you want. That's what I like about those men. They don't care. They're not like emasculated by, they're not.
Yeah.
There's something about them that they're more emotional, I feel like, than men here or at least the American men.
They cry a lot more on Love is Blind.
Yes. They seem to be, I was like, I gotta go. If I'm ever single, I'm going to Brazil. I kind of like these Brazilian dudes.
And they kiss like it's a full body athletic event.
Oh, really?
Like when they see each other, they're like, insane.
I will say the most tragic thing of Love is Blind Brazil. And we got to talk about it because if you don't, you can't just skim over it. But there was a bigger girl on it.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to watch. If you watch. There's a bigger girl on it. And as I'm watching it, you know, and this is always what Love is Blind is like. The whole premise of the show is like, you know, you meet through a wall. It's all you do is talk to each other through a wall and get to know each other's voices. And you fall in love and you get engaged before you see each other. And the big fear in the American versions now with 2 seasons has been if it's a bigger person or someone who's not that attractive, what are they going to do?
Right.
You know, we saw kind of examples of this. I think in the first season, there was a guy that was like short and just not the girl's type. And you could kind of see her face drop and kind of she was a little bit just like not there. They allude to not being physically into each other. We have yet to see a very big person get rejected because they're big. There's been like, you know, with Nancy and what's that guy's name that had the dumb name? Black guy. Last season on Love is Blind. It doesn't matter. There were like moments where she was like, I am not. She really like was fine with her body and she wasn't worried that someone was going to reject her based on it. It was very cool to see.
Bartice.
And he could tell he was like, I'm into a more fit look. He didn't straight out say it, but he was into her still. Like it didn't seem to matter. It didn't seem to shake him. It was maybe a little bit of an issue. Not as much as you would think, you know, going into this. I just fear for these women being rejected because of how they look. Or the men, too. And then, you know, there was the case of Cole and Zainab, right?
Yeah.
And she is a beautiful woman, great body.
So was Nancy. Nancy looked like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, they were both beautiful, but they were curvier.
Yeah.
Zainab not so much. Zainab just had low self-esteem across the board, which I don't fault her for. But she had really there's no reason for anyone to have it. But do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It was in her head more than in her hips. And then, but that doesn't matter because you can be whatever and on the inside you can feel unlovable. And then either way, you can be big and feel like, I don't even fucking care. I love myself. Or you can be super tiny and feel like, I feel like a piece of shit. It doesn't fucking matter. That's what you realize. But then on Love is Blind Brazil, Noah, I'm watching it. And Anya's already a couple episodes ahead. And I go, I'm getting worried about this big girl. I'm getting worried. I don't think this guy she's falling for is going to be okay with this. You know, I think he's going to be an asshole about it. He even said, and fitness is very important to him. And she said, oh, that would be good for me to be with someone like that. So she like, she didn't, and she even expressed like worrying about I'm black, I'm bigger. Like there are things like it's harder to date for me and I'm scared he's going to like reject me. And he did. Guys, he did. Yes. And it was so sad. It was so sad. They kind of glossed over it because I think it is too upsetting. But that's a real fucking thing, man. Like, I applaud a bigger girl going on these shows and being like, I don't care what their reaction is. If they don't like me, that's on them. And that's kind of what she was like, beautiful girl, proud of who she was, strong girl, like, didn't need this guy at all. If anything, she should have fucking turned on a dime and not been impressed with this guy. He was not cute, in my opinion. Which is a whole other thing. Like, just let's take size out of the equation. Just you don't like their face, you know? It could be just like, ugh, he's not cute to me. But he was weird because when they met in person, you know, they kiss and they're hugging and stuff. And then they part ways. And then he gets behind the door after he's alone. He's like, he kept saying the most bullshit thing. He kept saying, I don't know if I can handle such a strong woman. She suddenly was so strong. Nothing had changed since they were, you know, all they'd done is kissed and gone like, oh, look at you, hi. And then suddenly she's too strong for him. It really made me sad. But you know what? To deny that that is an issue for bigger women or bigger men out there dating is to deny, it's obvious. It does hinder people from finding love and it sucks. And yeah, you saw it on that.
That
and
was I such was, a stark,
I, yeah,
such a stark like rejection. It was like a kick to the gut. He just like looked at her, hugged her, and then walked away. And it was just like, that's it. You're not going to say anything.
Ew. Because he couldn't. Because the truth was, I'm not attracted to you, and it's too heartbreaking to tell people. I mean, we've had it happen to us. Like you,
but after have you been out with someone whole days of getting to know each other,
yeah. And after getting on his knee and proposing, I mean, like, these people are legitimately in love on this show, which is the crazy thing. But something happens in there. Something special happens when you're just talking on the phone.
It sounds kind of bizarre to me because just from learning about Brazilian culture and stuff through jiu-jitsu, women in Brazil, they embrace curves and you know, like all that, and
yes,
I think men like that, so I'm just like surprised to hear it.
I think it's this girl was fat. She would probably identify as a fat woman. You know what I'm saying? It's different than like all the women on the show are curvy. There's no one who's like this new diabetes medication starving themselves, buckle fat removal, look like a skeleton.
The host.
Honestly, that's a really good point. The host does show up and you're like,
the host is like, it looks like her starving, husband is holding, but let's welcome everyone.
Yes, she always looks starving. And I'm saying fat with like no judgment. I think that's the thing I like about the fat movement is women are just like, yeah, I'm fat, and people are like, no, don't say it. And they're like, no, that's actually like what I am. I don't really care. I don't put any morality to it, so I can say I'm fat and it doesn't mean I'm bad. And they go, don't, you're not fat. And they go, well, I don't see anything wrong with being fat. You seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. And I think that
protest too much.
Yeah. That's the thing that bothers me so much when you go, I look gross today, or I look ugly, or I look old. No, you don't. No. And I'm like, well, someday I will. And it seems like it's quite a problem based on your reaction. And so should I kill myself before then? Okay, so I've got a couple stories that I can tell from my past week that I wrote down a list, and I want you guys to choose what you hear about based on my list. So I'm going to read the list, and you each will choose one. I'll try to rifle through them as fast as possible.
Okay.
But, you know me. It might take a little bit of time. So just based on the titles alone, I'm going to go through these, and you tell me what ones you want to hear. Okay, so we have Otter at the Aquarium. Sad Women Incorporated. Arlo Kanye glasses. LASIK? Menstrual cup mishap. Gratitude jug. Farley Saget sadness. Oh, I already did Meghan Markle crusade. Harry book, I already did that. Lori Hill videos. Or the quote, smashed up cookie. End quote. Noah, let's go with you. I'll first. What would you like first. To talk about?
Okay. Farley Saget sadness.
Okay, so Saget's anniversary of his death was yesterday on the 9th. And a couple days ago, I was, I don't know if it's been announced yet. There's something going on with Adam Sandler that someone in my life is also involved with. I'll say that. And so the other day, so we have been wanting to watch a lot of Adam Sandler stuff. The other day alone, I put on the Adam Sandler 100% Fresh, his comedy special from a couple years ago. It's maybe my favorite thing I've ever seen. It's top 10 comedy specials for sure. It is brilliant. And if you go, oh yeah, I remember seeing it, it was funny. I did too. I watched it like 4 times when it first came out. I don't remember anything from it except the Farley song. And like that one song that's like phone, wallet, keys. But I'm telling you, there is so much you don't remember. Go back and watch it. It is so delightful. So watching it, I'm obsessing over everything about it. And then the Farley song at the very end, his penultimate song, is about Chris Farley. And it's just the best tribute to his friend who died ever. And it's just so sad. And it makes me cry so hard. It makes me cry. There's this one song where he's like, one night late at the office, I walked in and he was listening to Casey and the Sunshine Band. And he was crying to Casey and the Sunshine Band. I said, man, what's making you so sad? And he said, just thinking about my dad. And it's just so sad. Aww. That like he just was crying to the song thinking about his dad. And he was like late at the office in SNL. And then the image behind him is like Chris Farley and his dad on the big screen. It's just beautiful. And then, so you cry at that because you just see that this guy, Chris Farley, was just such an emotional guy and so connected to his family. And then he does a guitar solo, which is like really good and like has so much emotion in it. Like Adam Sandler, like he is an emotional man. Like I love him so much. Like he has depth to him. Like we don't even know. At least I didn't know. And the more I've been watching this, I'm like, oh, he's so much more than like I'm a doer scuba doer. You know, like he's the real fucking deal. He's a good man. And then the next part of the song, he was like, you know, he goes, a couple weeks later, the party came to an end. We flew out to Madison to bury our friend. Nothing was harder than saying goodbye than watching Chris's father take his turn to cry. Oh. And then it's like so sad. And then, there's like the other, and that just like makes me like, oh, and then. So there's something about the thing that always gets me crying is when people talk to people who are dead, like they're still here, or
yes,
people come back from the dead, like in a note they wrote knowing they were going to die. Oof. Being like that shit gets me ever since Forrest Gump. And he's talking to Jenny. He's like, you'd be so proud, Jenny. He's so smart when he's at her grave. You know, he's so smart, Jenny. And that, like, I remember as a kid being like, what is happening to me? I was, again, convulsing. So then there's this line where he's just like, you know, I forget what it is, but it's something about like, man, life ain't the same since you left. It's something about like, Chris, life isn't the same here since you've been gone. And for some reason, his just like the familiarity of like talking to him like he's right there. And like it, and Chris Farley was, you just realize such, this guy's been dead for 20 years and yet his best friend from that time is writing this long song about him and everyone in the audience is like sobbing. It's just such a great emote, and I couldn't stop watching it. I was just over and over because it would just make me cry every time and make me feel this thing. And then I would think about my dad. I started like worrying about my friends dying and like, oh, am I going to have to write a song about them? I already did one for Bob Saget. No, I just like was starting to like, it just makes me think, it just made me feel cry in a way that felt orgasmic kind of, where it was like this thing happening to me that I don't want to happen, but it feels really good, but also feels really wrong. I don't know. Crying to me is kind of orgasmic. And so I just can't. And then it was starting to not work anymore. It was like not making me cry anymore because I was just doing it. So watching it, listening to it over and over and crying. And I would just cry for like, you know, 3 seconds, you know, like it would just go like well up and be like tears and then it would stop. And so I'd go up, repeat, repeat. And then I was
edging,
just like,
but with crying.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And because I never just like, it's rare that I just break down and sob and sob and sob. It's only if I'm like on the girls chat telling a story and I can talk for like a long monologue. But usually it comes out of me in like little spurts. And so then I just was like, what is going on with me? Like, why am I so sad right now and thinking about the like what is going? And then all of a sudden it was like, Bob Saget, the anniversary of death has been a year. And I was like, it is this. It's the same time of year, this weird time after New Year's Eve where nothing's going on yet. My tour hasn't picked up again. Same thing happened last year. I found out when I was sitting on my couch watching some reality show, someone texted me, Bob Saget's dead. Someone I like barely, you know, kind of barely know. And it was just some news headline. And it just, and you know, like when everyone who's listened to this has suffered grief at some point in their life, you remember where you were, you remember like the way it smells. And I didn't even remember this date was kind of coming up, but it's just the time of year reminds me of being sad about a friend. I've been like obsessively watching David Spade clips because I think, and that wasn't even from watching the Farley thing, because they're kind of connected, he's even in the song, but I've just been obsessively watching it because I'm like trying to hold on to my friends who are a little bit older than me, like Saget, that I'm like, I don't, these men that mean so much to me comedically and almost like big brother father type status, like where I don't want to let them go and I want to just soak them up. And so I just like keep I guess it's just that time of year. So that made me realize it was really nice to be like, that's why. It's like when you feel murderous rage and then your period starts and you go, oh, yeah. It's not just me. I'm not just being melancholy for no reason. There's a fucking thing behind this. And, you know, even last year when it happened, I really suffer with like my feelings around Bob Saget's death because people were like, we weren't best friends, but I was really fucking sad about it. Same thing out with my friend
in
high
school. You guys were very close. You were on FaceTime status. Like he was giving you loving, fatherly, avuncular advice about your relationship.
Yeah, he cared about
you.
You
guys were good friends.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
I just struggle with that though. I think it's just, you know, childhood trauma of losing someone and then people going like, why are you sad about this? You didn't even know this kid. And ever since then, anytime someone in my life dies, if it's, you know, literally anyone, because I haven't lost anyone that I feel like I have a right to be sad yet. I really haven't. Everyone I've lost, I feel guilty about feeling so sad because I go, well, their wife is sadder. Their sister is sadder. Like, what am I writing a song about? But, you know, I think the Adam Sandler thing made me feel good because he's not, you know, 20 years ago this happened. You're still not over it? Well, fucking good he's not. And they were very close, much closer than Bob and I were, but at the same time, it just feels like, but they were also in their 20s. It was probably a less mature relationship. I can kind of relate to feeling like I would want to write a song about Bob in 20 years, even though I it just made me feel good that not every song you write about grief has to be about someone. I guess that's not what I'm taking from it, but it's okay to be sad, I guess.
Yeah. I think because you know, you can't too, that help. you have like somebody else's shame put on you from childhood, because when you lost a friend when you were in high school, people close to you, in whatever attempt they were making to try to make you feel less
make
bad, they
made me feel bad.
Yeah, and so now you have this weird guilt about anytime somebody dies, you're like, am I allowed to feel
honestly
sad?
I was thinking about some of my friends and I'm like, if they died, I need to take more pictures with them, because if they die, I'm going to fucking lose my mind and it's all that I'm going to be able to talk about or think about, and no one's going to believe that we were that close unless I have evidence of it. I need more pictures with them just to prove, in case they die, that I feel okay about being that sad, so people don't be like, Nikki just wants attention. Nikki's, you know, like, I know people like that someone dies and they like get, I remember one guy dying and a friend of mine in the local comedy scene, a guy died tragically and another guy got a tattoo of him. And I was like, I kind of realized in that moment, oh my God, if I died, I would be commemorated on this guy's lower back probably too, because the level of they knew each other. And I just remember being like, my sister wouldn't get a tattoo of me, yet I would be on the back of this guy Jeff's back forever. That's my legacy. And I remember rolling my eyes being like, he's trying to make this about him. I don't give a fuck what people do with their grief anymore. If you're sad, just like have it. And I gotta feel that way, because as I know, the only way to feel, to let yourself be something, is to like let others off the hook for the same thing. Right?
Yes.
And vice versa.
You know what I loved, Bob's, you know, we were talking a little bit about this the other day, and I think it was last night, I went on to Saget's widow's page and I was just reading her post. She's so sweet. Like every few months she's been like, can't believe it's 6 months without my love of my life and my husband. It's gonna choke me up, so I don't want to talk about it too much.
I know, but I just love
that she always would say, the more, you know, what I've learned through this, because they were just together a short time. They like met, fell in love, got married, and then like a few years later he was gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like 5 years, 7 years.
Yeah, that's like so short. And mm-hmm, I love that she's mm-hmm, like, what I take from all of this is how lucky I was. Like, lucky to meet you, lucky to be your wife, lucky to have all the time I had with you. But that's what I keep thinking. Like, because I'm obsessed with death too, or like, how much longer do I have? How much longer do I, like, I just met the love of my life.
I've been thinking about it too. Keep going.
You have?
Just that, like, what if I lose everyone, or my parents are older, and how much time, and my dog, I love my dog so much, she's gonna fucking die.
I worry about losing people, but if, for last night I was watching Alone, we started sixth season, and this guy shoots a squirrel that just, these squirrels keep, like, giving up. So when squirrels are, like, they'll see a human as a predator, so they'll start going, like, and like barking, and so then they're alerting every animal to get the fuck out of the way, and the guy's like, I gotta kill that squirrel. That squirrel is like giving up, you know, my spot. So he like puts it in his like shot line. He's like, I'm gonna, and this squirrel's just like eating its morning lunch like on this little branch, like up in this, very high up in this tree. And he's like, look at this squirrel, look at him, I'm gonna get him. He sets the bow and he fucking hits it. And then he goes to collect the squirrel that he hit, and it's right through the squirrel's fucking brain. Like right, and the squirrel's eating a nut, and it's perfectly through the brain. And I go, that's the best way to go. That squirrel didn't feel an ounce of pain, didn't know anything. And I was talking to Chris and I go, that really is the best way to go. You don't even go, ow. Like there's no moment of like, what's happening? Like, I don't want to go in a car crash where I'm like, oh no, psh, dead. Like, I don't want that moment of fear where the adrenaline like rushes through you. Harry talks about it in his book when he was slaughtering when he was shooting an animal. He was talking about how a lot of times animals, when you're out shooting them, which I didn't know, and it makes total sense about factory farming, why I say factory farming is awful, because the animals are filled with anxiety and you eat that anxiety. But when they're hunting,
right,
if you scare the animal before you shoot it, adrenaline rushes through its body and ruins the meat. I thought that was so interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to die with adrenaline coursing through my brains. I want to die with like a bridge falling on me and me just like bopping along to like, you know, the Farley song probably. You know what I mean? But I don't worry about dying because I won't be I'm not worried about like people going on without me. And maybe that's because I don't have a kid or something. But I do worry about losing other people. When you guys think about death, are you thinking about what am I, because Sarah Lena, my friend, she keeps saying like, girl, I don't know, I'm just so scared of dying. And I go, but you'll be dead. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, fuck, I died. Like, I was like, you got to take this whole thing. Like, you think of it as like you trip on the sidewalk and you're like embarrassed about it. You're not going to be able to reflect on dying. And I know that's like harder to get than not. But do you want to, how do you fear death?
I fear leaving people behind, not finishing stuff I want. I want lots of time. You know, I don't want to die young.
Right. Well, you're out of the woods for that. But
thanks, bitch.
I am too. I always feel like
I'm getting that
30,
bow and arrow ready to have you have
35,
a quick, swift,
it's like,
demise.
No, before 60 is dying young, faux show, at this point in time. Doesn't always feel that way in Hollywood. But yeah, when you're talking about your to-do list, like what's your number one thing that you'd be like, fuck, let's not talk about relationships. Let's not talk about like like bucket list? Like, what would be your gasping last words of like, oh, I didn't
like clean my basement. Like, to-do listing?
yeah, I didn't organize that top shelf.
I actually don't have a lot of stuff on my bucket list, which I'm glad about. I'm not like, I never got to India or I never got to see the Great Wall. It's more just like, I want more time with people I love and maybe that. And I don't know. Like sometimes I get scared that I'm going to die soon because I feel that way. Like I already feel like I've had a full life. So what if someone's listening and they're like,
yeah, you're like spending
out.
Your time watching Love is Blind Brazil. So
someone's going to throw a rock at your
head.
You're
sending a message to the universe. You know what? I'm kind of like biding my time right now. Can you like speed
take
this
her
up?
Out.
Wait, Noah, what have your fears of death been?
Okay, so my thoughts are a little bit different. Like, I think about losing loved ones, I guess, like my dad, and just like not having him there. Like,
yes,
you know, finally wanting to pick up the phone and call him intentionally, mm-hmm. and then, oh, it's too late, he's not there, or finding it like an old voicemail. And that makes me really emotional, even though he's not dead.
Yes.
The second part of it is, yes. I think about, you know, for example, my nephew, when I die, he's not going to have me there, and like the hurt that he'll go through. And then finally, the last thing, I just think about like death itself and what it means and how like just poof, that's it. It's just done. Like you just don't get to open your eyes anymore and you turn into worm food.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's just the beginning, which is kind of what I believe. But
yeah, but all I of do. That. So then what? I turn into something else. Like I come back as like a, I don't know, a bird or something. Like what?
No, I don't know. I just don't think it's the end.
Squirrel.
I don't think it's like, I think Noah's done. You know? Yeah, a squirrel, and then you're, you know, then you come back again as something else in 2 seconds.
A muskox.
Fucking head off. Yeah, a muskox that someone stabs in the night. I think that, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I worry about. That's why I try to write in my journal in a way that, oh, I wanted to say this publicly. If I die, public access to all my journals, like Ooh. Do something with them. No, I have no qualms about my voice memos on my phone. I have no privacy. Release it all. Do something with it. Like,
babe, it's
I wanted
already
to say
out.
That. No, like a podcast. No, if you want to know, my fucking journals are.
What's in the journal? Give me a little sample from
no,
last week.
Honestly, it would get me committed. But after I'm dead, it doesn't matter. Okay. You know, it's all stuff about myself, but it's just like, I wanted to say that because I don't give it to like my parents or like Chris. I don't think they could handle it, but you could handle it, Anya.
Can I give it to that guy that tattooed your name on his back?
Yeah, I forget his name. I should check my
He's
back.
Like, I'm so excited to be the executor of Nikki's journals.
Just someone who gives a fuck. Yeah, please have all that shit. I have a whole drawer of it. Yeah, I just, what was I going to say? You were talking about
not like, hearing from my dad.
Yes, that's the
not
one.
Not being there for my nephew.
Here's what I'm, I don't know. I have felt, it's the end of all the memories you have with them now, but I really feel, and I haven't lost someone super close to me, so I don't know what this is like, but I believe, I really talk to people all the time who are dead, like in my mind. And like when I'm walking around my house, like straightening things, like I feel like I have a relationship with dead people. Like there's someone I lost that I was close to 8 years ago. And I feel like we haven't skipped a beat. Like I hang out with him all the time in my head. I talk to him. I don't know. I think that it's going to be the worst thing. I don't even like to imagine my parents dying even for a split second. That's what everyone says is like your life changes so drastically after that moment. But I think I'll still feel like they're around, which I know is maybe, you know, not real. But I think I'll feel, I'll be able to keep a relationship with. Do you guys ever talk to dead people?
Oh, yeah. My friend Romy died, and I just, you know, I think about her laugh all the time, her sense of humor. We used to watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette together all the time. I'm always like consulting her. She said something to me that was so important when I was in a bad relationship. She was like, you keep making a meal out of crumbs. How much longer are you going to make a meal out of crumbs? Because this relationship was just crumbs. And I'd never heard that phrase before. It was a long time ago. I know people say it all the time, but I think about that in my life all the time. Like, she's like the little guardian angel on my shoulder that's like, expect more for yourself, girl. And she was so light and funny about everything. Like, everything was light and So I try to have more humor. But I think remembering these people is how they stay alive, you know?
Yes. Well, the Prince Harry book, again, I can't recommend it enough. I promise you, if you just download a sample on your phone, you will buy the whole book. Because last night I'm in bed reading it next to Chris. It drops in my books and I go, here we go. And you know, we've done the thing where he's now on his side of the bed reading his phone. We like love our ritual of like reading our phones and then just like laughing. And I go, what are you laughing at? And then we send it to each other. Literally, we don't even show each other our phones. We just send it next to each other. But last night, he falls asleep so fast. And I had started the book. I was 3 pages in and I go, oh, this is good. This is real good. And he just goes, it's good. Is she really good? Good. Like he just mumbled some bullshit because he didn't understand what I was saying at all. But I declared right away, I was like, this book gets you. This guy is a good writer. He had a good editor. And he talks about his mom's death. And it's like, talk about grief and talk about trying to hold on to a memory and talking about trying to grieve someone that everyone else feels like they knew her too, and how he processed that. I mean, it's fucking fascinating. I'm dying for people to read it. I'm actually doing a podcast called the Celebrity Memoir Book Club. I think that's what it's called. And we're reading that book. It's a big podcast. So we're recording that next week. So if anyone wants to read the book and then listen to that, I'll talk all about the book more in there. And I'm not going to stop talking about the book. I'm so obsessed. I'm only a third in and I'm not giving up this time. One more quick story to get through before we go to break. Okay, out of all the list.
All right. I wanted to hear, of course, about the menstrual cup mishap.
Yeah. I got a menstrual cup at TJ Maxx. I've been waiting to buy one because they're like $30. And I'm like I don't know. I can't trust this. It's just too much for a menstrual cup when you're looking at tampons that are $4.99 next to it. I'm just like, I can't. So I went to TJ Maxx.
You're not a diva.
Yeah. The other word, the diva cup, first of all, it wasn't the diva. I forget the name of it, but it's a reputable brand. I don't want to slam them. No, I forget what it's, but it's one that you know. You've heard of this one. I forget it though because I threw it away because I was so excited to get my period. It was like I was 14 or 16 all over again when I got mine. I was like, yes, because I get to use my fucking cup that I got at TJ Maxx. And it was like, you know, I got for like $11. This $30 cup. Put it in. I told the girls chat, I'm so excited about it. And they were like, take a video like of like pulling it out. Not everyone co-signed on that. So I kind of took it from far away, but I did like do a toast. It looked like a little acorn that was full. It was like, and you get to see how much blood is coming out of you. It's interesting because you don't know when you're just sopping up with tampons or pads. Like you don't know the amount and you need to see what your body fucking does and how much you suffer. And so... yeah, that was interesting, the first pull of that, and then I put it back up and
what
then
was
I
your
couldn't
impression
get it
when you
out. I couldn't
wait,
get
wait,
it
wait.
Out.
When what? You first saw it, you pulled out the cup. What was your
browner,
first impression?
Browner than I thought.
Ah.
Browner and
what about the amount?
It looked like sap. You know, it looked like or like oil from like a car. The scent?
No, was like the amount. Was the it amount. A satisfying amount or was it less than
Yeah,
you
it
thought?
Was a very satisfying amount. It was a, you know, it was heavy flow first start of it and it was, you know, it was probably a fucking teaspoon, a full teaspoon, which is
how
a,
do you
it feels
pull
like
it
a lot.
How do you pull it out without spilling?
So, it's like a suction cup. It shaped like an acorn kind of, and you curl it into itself to put it up. And then when you pull it out, it's a great question. I don't even know how I got it out the first time. It was not that complicated. But the second time, could not get it out. Couldn't
get it out. Does it go around
your
cervix?
Was like scratching my vagina to get... Yeah, it goes like up into
it.
And then I guess mine's very super deep. Mine was like baby Jessica. I couldn't get her out. And I was panicking and sweating and, you know, trying 2 fingers, like a clip method. And I was trying my but putting your thumb and your middle and your finger like to get those in your vagina is too hard. I'm so tight. It was just so hard.
I'm just really tiny.
But luckily I was taking it out because I was about to go to the gynecologist or like to get my eggs frozen, like to get the follicle check thing. And I'll talk about that another time. And it was in the morning and I was like, I don't want to have this menstrual cup in. I'm going to put in a tampon instead. And so I go, but wait. I don't got to get this out. I was in there for a half hour trying to get out. I go, they'll take it out. So I went in there and I go, she goes, okay, this is your room, you know, disrobe from the waist down. throw on this thing. And I go, I got a menstrual cup stuck in me. And she goes, oh, and she shut the door. She was like, I just want to say that it's happened to me too. And I was like, oh, I don't have any shame about, like, you could tell that she was like, it's okay. She was being very sweet, like where most women, I think, would need to hear that. But I was like, no, I don't think I'm an idiot. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. I don't think this is gross. You're good. And then they brought in forceps. And I'll tell you what
you're
happened.
You're like, right, this is TJ's fault, not mine.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
We're back. They gave me forceps, and I thought she laid them on the counter, and then she's like, the doctor will be right in. The doctor comes in, she goes, did you get it out? And I go, what? No. Wait, is I supposed to go in there? And she goes, oh, no. And then she goes in there, and she yanks it out. I don't even look at it. I don't want to see it. And she goes, what do you want to do? And I go, throw it away. I'm never putting that thing up me again. It doesn't have any good grip to it. I used to have ones that were like a Lance Armstrong bracelet with some cellophane over it. Those were easy to put in and out. Very easy. This one, the cup shape, horrible. So if you're a girl out there that's gotten stuff stuck in you. And then I went on the Courtney show and I was talking about it. And Courtney's like, oh, yeah, stuff is getting stuck up there all the time. That, you know, being a woman, you don't realize men think that you like feel a tampon up there. You don't. You feel it when you put it in, but you're not like, I have a tampon in me all day long. You kind of forget. And you can sometimes wear a tampon up to like 11 hours if you're, you know, sloppy about it. And in that time, sometimes you forget that if you've taken it out, so you just put another in. I'm so ADD, sometimes I will, you know, you'll be on Instagram and then you'll click off Instagram and then you'll pull up Instagram again. You ever do that? How ADD your brain is that you just... So imagine being on the toilet on Instagram, you take out a tampon or you didn't take one out, but you assume you did, and then you put another one up. This is constantly happening. And then you take that one out, and then the other one's shoved up, and you don't even know. Like, it happens a lot. So they were there. It was nothing to pull those, to yank those puppies out. But, yeah, so that was my menstrual. So just don't get things on discount, I guess. But I would do it again. I would buy a menstrual cup at TJ Maxx again, or you know, Marshall's.
I thought you said you were not going back to that guy.
All right. Well, not to that one, but I try a different brand in a heartbeat. I really like the menstrual cup. I want to see it. Yeah, and I like the idea of dry cotton going up your vagina. I don't like, whenever I put a tampon in, it's kind of like, it's like dry cotton. I don't like cotton. It's too much. I want it to be like wet already.
I haven't used a tamp in a while.
What do you use? Pads?
I just use panty liners now. It's very light.
Panty liners? That's how low it is?
Yep. Yep.
Taylor found my panty liners when she was cleaning out my cabinets, and she goes, "What are these? What are these?" And I go, "I don't know." She goes, "When would you ever be able to use this?" I go, "I don't know, when you just like start or like when it's trailing off." And she's like, she'd never seen a panty liner. But that's all you use on it? Do you have to change them out a lot? But they're pretty absorbent.
I'm changing them out every couple hours because it was my... yesterday and today are my heavier days. So every like 3 hours.
What made you stop tampies?
Just I was getting yeasters all the time, and I was just like, this isn't comfortable, and I'm not having like heavy flow anymore. So it was just kind of lighter. And then I found this brand, Honey Pot, and I got, it has like mint and lavender. And
You've been trying to get us
the tampies. Dude, I'm going to give these out as stocking stuffers next year. It's a mint and lavender infused panty liner, Honey Pot. And I'm addicted now. Like, my vagina craves them. I just want it. I want it bad.
Why? What does it feel like?
It's just like a think of your favorite gum or mouthwash or anything you've ever used. And you're like, I want that feeling in my mouth. Like, makes you feel...
That's what my vagina looks like some days. A big wad of it. Wait
it's
a second.
It's just so refreshing.
So it just feels like you can feel the, like, it feels clean, like, and like.
Yeah, it's like these little vapors of Listerine, like tea tree, but not.
Pack strip?
Yeah, it just feels amazing. It's just like, ooh, I feel fresh and awake and alive, but it's natural.
Okay.
It's organic cotton, and it's made by women for women.
This made by women thing, I'm sorry. It doesn't
want
to buy something more.
Male gynecologist. It fits
in
with your branding.
I'm tired of this. Like, it's all women companies. Maybe I'm not like a... it doesn't sell me on things. Am I bad to say that? I feel like it should, and then I resent it when I go to
what
a place
if it
and
was like,
we have all women-owned business. And I'm like, well, does that mean, are you like a TERF person where you're like real women? Or like, I kind of doubt, then I start to question like, trans women not allowed to have this, the two? Or like,
it's for anyone who identifies as a woman and wants a panty liner. And it's made by people who identify as
women. In the US of A?
Yeah, no commies.
I guess that is a nice thing. People are going to get mad at me for saying that I don't care when things are women made, but it's just, that's the way I used to feel about USA. I'm like, I just don't care. I just want a good product. It's the way I feel about being labeled as a female comedian. Like, I'm just a comedian. I'm proud to be a woman, but I don't think it's a selling point that I'm a female comic. I just want to be a comic. I just want to be a
Mindy
panty liner.
But what if I was like, you got to try... But what if I was like, you got to try these panty liners. They're made by these really cool Wall Street bros, but it's so good.
A Wall Street bro is different than like not mentioning who it's made by. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, so you'd rather not know that it's made by men?
Yeah, I don't need to know. That's a part of the thing, the transaction I don't need to know about. I also don't need to know they're 100% cotton, that they are organic. I don't believe in
it. What about, you know, what else is natural? The animal cocaine. Testing.
Huh?
The animal testing?
Yeah, that I don't want a rabbit to have to wear this fucking pad on its face or something to test it. Like, yeah, I care about animals. That I do care about. Same. I only want it tested on female rabbits, who are self-starters and who are not Nepo bunnies. I don't want any Nepo bunnies making my makeup. Yeah, I think animal testing, that's important. But if you look into that, you can always trace something to someone being exploited, man. Like, everything is someone's being underpaid and treated poorly. I can't stop with Amazon, and I gotta stop. It's just too easy. It's too fucking easy. But it has to end soon. I have to. But something bad has to happen to me with Amazon. Like, I have to watch a documentary or something. Please don't send me one. I can't. I'm not ready to be done with it. But I need to know the truth. One more story, or we should get today. to story. Okay. Well, I think you're up, Noah.
Can we do smashed up cookie?
Smashed yes. up cookie. Okay. So that I wanted to call out Kirsten's husband, Corey, because so prior to me doing my show in St. Louis on New Year's Eve, that's like whenever I'm under pressure is when I start to really come up with like jokes. And I'm starting to go, oh, I need more new material. These people have all seen my stuff. And so I start writing. I'm in the shower, showering for my New Year's Eve show. It's 4:00. I have to be at the Stiefel at 5 for sound check. And I just start getting this idea of like, I've been messing around with like, oh, you know, because the show is in St. Louis. My dad is there. And I always like to make the point of like, I'm not going to change the show at all for the audience just because my dad's here. My dad is here. I don't want to lie about that. He's here. We have to acknowledge it. Elephant in the room. But, you know, I'm not going to change my act at all. And I always say, Cardi B, you wouldn't want her to not do WAP because her dad was there one night. And I was like, she does WAP, but it's like the Kidz Bop version. And I was like, oh, what would the Kidz Bop version of WAP be? And I like was just not in the mood to like, this is the way a comedian's mind can work sometimes. This is like a example of like, a writing staff. I have an idea. That's the joke premise. I just need something funny to say instead of wet ass pussy. That would be like the Kidz Bop version of wet ass pussy. And so I put out a call to all my friends on like mass text. I didn't bother Anya because she was already at the show, like dealing with behind the scenes stuff. But I just wrote all my friends. I was like, I have a joke equation. What is a funny replacement for wet ass pussy? That would be Kidz Bop. And so they were sending back a ton of stuff, but I go, no. It needs to be 3 syllables, wet ass, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, wet ass pussy. It needs to be the same. I'd like it to almost rhyme. That's another requirement. I mean, this is cutting down on things it could be. And so people kept being like, best ass tushy or something. Like they kept saying like, and I go, no, the word ass is still in it. Like you forget because pussy is such a foul word. You forget that the other word is bad too. So I go, I can't say ass, I can't say pussy. And so Kirsten's husband came out with smashed up cookie. And I thought that was really so good. And it just proves to you that like laymen are capable of coming up with like great jokes. If you give people the variables and you ask them to solve for X, they can often do it. And a comedian's mind is not always the one that's coming up with the punchline. It's really about like the formula. And then giving it to the people. And so it was such a fun thing to do because I assumed Kirsten or Taylor would like instantly come up with it. But they put it out in the car with their boyfriends. And then Corey, who's like an engineer, was just like, smashed up cookie. And I was like, that's it. Because it's yes! smashed up cookie. And it's something that would, and you do need a bucket and a mop for the smashed up cookie.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was really good.
Send that man to Nashville. He's got a career in songwriting.
Final thought. Can we get to why do I care?
Why do I care?
All right. Why do I care, Noah? What's going on?
All right. I don't know if you saw this. It's kind of going viral. Chris Hemsworth, he found out that he's predisposed to Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And to confront his fear of aging, He went on a date with an older version of his wife, Elsa. She was made to look like an 87-year-old version of herself with makeup and a wig and prosthetics. Uh-huh. And they thought that by
seeing her... Did he love his wine Brazil her and go, no, I can't do this. She's too strong. Sorry, go on.
They said that by seeing her this way, they concluded that even if Alzheimer's wipes his memory, at least he'll know what she looks like at an older age.
That's really sweet. Fuck. Wait, so... Okay,
well,
keep going.
There's... I thought so too, and the internet also thought that it's very sweet, but you know, and he said that the idea I won't be able to remember the life I've experienced or my wife, my kids, is probably my biggest fear. Mm. How so when he saw her in the video,
until
this
he
is
saw
the part
her.
That changed it for me. He goes, "You're still beautiful."
Well, why did that bother you?
Because why not just say you are beautiful? Why still? I don't know. The word still just kind of throws it off for
me. Because age does affect beauty and we don't want to acknowledge it, but it does. And it's like it's the thing that you go, no, let's not. Being old, nothing changes. It's just, you know, everyone's avoiding it, but it's fine if you do. But everyone avoids it at all costs. And it's like, why are we avoiding it then if everything's fine? And the truth is, it's not fine. You lose fuckability. You become a weak, brittle person who has to lose fuckability because you can't fight off people who want to rape you as much. You don't have any muscle mass. You have weak bones. You should be unfuckable. This is a protective thing. And you're not fertile anymore. Men shouldn't be wasting their semen dumping it in you for no progeny. I mean, it's biological. You shouldn't look fuckable when you get older. So I do understand the still
he's
because
the
she's
same
still
age. He's the same age on this date.
Right. And she's probably like, you're still fucking hot. I mean, the still doesn't bother me, but I get why it does because it's like, just say beautiful. Wait, let's see.
Okay.
Oh God. No, she's not. He lied. That's why, this is why I don't like it. I have to say, I think this makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a surprise date.
Oh,
I think on your date.
Okay, that's terrified.
He looks,
he can't
and they
even
won't
look
show
at
her.
Her.
Have you noticed?
Oh God,
she looks like a
horrified.
Birth victim.
He does not look comfortable.
No, he doesn't. It's so scary. He's like, oh my
Why
God, I'm so grateful for this genetic mutation where I'm
going
to forget what
this
woman looks
like. He should
have
also had to get old.
Yeah.
Yeah,
still bothers
me. When is his Alzheimer's supposed to kick in? Sorry,
he was aged in that, but men just age so well that you couldn't notice.
Shut up.
No, I mean, God, I'm so attracted to Chris lately, I can't fucking even take it. So he got a mohawk. Did I tell you about this?
Yes.
I saw that he cut his hair, yeah.
So he was at his brother did a show called
Punk
Rock
Christmas. This is Chris, your boyfriend, not Hemsworth.
No, yeah, the other Chris. That's what I call Chris, is the other Chris, because Chris Hemsworth's always number one to me. You're still beautiful, baby. And he, Chris gave himself a mohawk because they were doing it for charity. I don't know. It was like they invited people. His brother Tim was performing this thing called Punk Rock Christmas at Del Mar Hall here in St. Louis. Chris went to attend. They did this thing where they're like giving mohawks for charity. So if you volunteer to have your head shaved on stage, some money would be donated by someone who was putting, I don't really know the logistics of it. All I know is that my boyfriend volunteered to have a mohawk shaved, and I wanted to start a charity for women whose boyfriends decided to get a mohawk one December night and not ask their permission. And did Tim get a mohawk? Did Chris's brother get a mohawk? Curran? Yes, he got a mohawk, but he almost did like a fade on the sides. It didn't even look like a mohawk. It was just a slight fade. It looked like fashionable. Chris got a whole mohawk, totally shaved to the fucking like skin head, except through the mohawk. Did Tim get one? No. Why? Because his wife was like, we have Christmas pictures. You're not doing that. That is the difference between a wife and a girlfriend. Did Chris consult me before this? Hell fucking no. I just started getting texts from people that were there being like, oh boy. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, I hope he's dead. I can't even handle whatever else this could be. And no, so then I see a picture of him and I'm like, I like this. Like, as much as I was like, it's not the best look. Like, I'm not necessarily like in fate, like this isn't the most attractive look for him, for me. I was still like, you still look good, you know, like, and I like that this guy who's
41, doesn't care about his hair so much. He's not so precious about his looks, even though he's a good looking guy, that he would do something this fun and spontaneous. That is a quality I like in my boyfriend. And so I was like, you know what? I like this. I think it's kind of lame if he were like, no, I care about my hair too much to do this fun thing. Right. I looked at the lovely side of it, even though I had to suffer with my boyfriend having a mohawk. So he had a mohawk for a while, and then he decided to, one day he just shaved it all off. And I was like, oh, that actually looks pretty good. And then it grew out like 2 days after it was like, it was probably a quarter of an inch long. And I don't know what the fuck happened, but I have never been so horny for my boyfriend in my life. It is the hottest look. I go, I'm getting a Josh Hartnett vibe when he used to have, and I go, I started calling him Prison Break because he also looked like Wentworth Miller from Prison Break. He looks so good.
He looks like Jason Statham.
Yeah, he looks so good. And he never would have had this haircut had it not been for the stupid mohawk thing. And now it's kind of growing out a little bit. And last night I was like, I mean, last night he was trying to talk to me about something serious. And I was literally like looking at his mouth, like just getting, it's been rare since I have looked at my boyfriend that I've been with forever and been so, it felt like a first date vibes where you're like, I can't wait to kiss this person. Like, I know we're going to, I don't know when. Aww. It felt like that. I was that excited because I was like, he is so hot. He's so hot. Like, he was just so, and I was just like, and so I told him later on, we were like laying, watching Alone. I was like, so when are you gonna like keep this hair? Like, you gotta shave it again. And he was just like, what? And I go, we gotta figure out the setting on the trimmer. So like, you have to, like, you can't abandon this. And he was like, no, I was planning on growing it all back. And I'm like, no. Like, I got like really upset. I'm like, this is the best look. I love the way it feels. I'm so into it. So
yeah, he came over to Nikki's the day of her show, or the day the girls were over before the New Year's Eve show, and he brought like insomnia cookies, heated up warm cookies at like 11 p.m. and all of us were on the verge of falling asleep, and then he walks in like Jason Statham with these warm cookies. Everyone's like, Chris.
Yeah,
he looks like he has like a rifle in the back of his pants.
It's so good.
And, or like, and he's gonna scale front, a building.
I'll tell you. I'm so into it. And but then last night he goes, I think this is a case of you, like, you love me and so you like it. And I go, I guarantee you that's not it. Like, I have felt this way about you. Nothing's changed in the way I feel about you. It's just the haircut. It's fucking good. And I said, my friends even commented on it when you dropped off the cookies the other night. Like, this is a good look for you. And he goes, I almost feel like it's also when girls like make their boyfriends unattractive because they want to like he's mine now. And I go, I want women to want to fuck you. Like, you don't understand. Like, this is, I like, you look like a movie star. So
he's saying
I'm so
that
into it.
Guys do that to women. Girls are like, grow out your leg hair. Do it. I had a boyfriend tell me to grow my leg hair out when I was like 21. And I did. Yeah.
Oh my God, crumbs, Anya, crumbs. Yeah. I shaved my arm hair yesterday. I got bored in the shower because I take such short showers and I was just trying to like be in there longer because I just don't know what to do. And I was like, I'll shave my arms and it feels so good. I think I've done it once before and it's not true. It doesn't grow back worse. Do you shave your arms?
Yeah.
Noah?
Yeah.
It's so quick to do. I shave my legs every single day in the shower. It takes no time. I take 3-minute showers and I shave my whole legs and my pussy and my asshole and my armpits. Mm. Adding my arms to it is going to take another 11 seconds at most. Right. So I was like, I have a new thing to shave now. I'm just going to have shaved arms. Fuck it.
Exfoliate.
I don't know why
them.
I've always had. What was that, Noah?
It's like exfoliate. It's like the dermaplaning, but for your arms.
Yes. I've always said that about shaving your legs. It feels as if you are squeegeeing the dirt off. Like a window.
That's true.
And so I don't feel clean
like
unless I
shave
my
legs. Face sometime.
Oh yeah, I shave my face too.
But I don't. I'm not gonna do it.
Not every time. I'm always scared. So I'm just gonna keep going up to my eyebrows. What was that? You
that
got a little favor
on
sample?
You. You
no
you
eyebrows.
Have the bone structure. Yeah.
For no eyebrows.
I did that once. I did that for a movie. My first film role. Yeah.
What?
I got my I got Taft Hartley for that. There's a film called 100 Girls.
What are you saying?
So in order to get your SAG card, you get Taft-Hartley lead along a lot of times, which is in the 11th hour, they'll just like make you SAG. They'll make you a member of the union because you got a job and you have to be in the union to work on the film. So they'll be like, just Taft-Hartley her, which is like accelerate the process.
Okay.
So I got a job in 100 Girls. It was my first feature film. And I play a girl who has trichotillomania.
You play girl number 99?
Yeah, pretty much. I run the dorm hall. I'm like the girl that at the
entrance. Wait, why have we not
dorm.
Watched this movie? You're we in a should. Movie? You have a role in a movie?
Yes, I have one line. And I shaved my eyebrows for the role.
Oh, my God. What was your line?
Man in the hall!
Why did you have to have dorm. Trichotillomania? Why was that a thing about you that we would even know?
I just
this sounds
you know,
like
a
boyfriend trying
girl.
To get you looking crazy. Did a boyfriend have anything? Was he directing it?
No.
Why couldn't
no.
you just put tape over your eye? Like, so did they grow back weird? Because eyebrows are one thing
they
that
grew
like
back they, better. It was really fun because I was able to like draw them on for a while, and that was kind of fun. And I learned how to shape my eyebrows a little more. They were weird for a few weeks, and then they almost grew back better.
All right, so shave your. I mean, this is the same thing where my sister like got a better body after she had 3 kids. Like, she has a better body now than she's ever had.
Insane.
And I'm like, maybe I need to have 3 kids to have that kind of body. Maybe I need to shave my eyebrows to have the right kind of eyebrows. This is all fucked up. All right, guys, we gotta go. Thank you so much. Don't shave your eyebrows. Don't be cut. And jackpot. See you tomorrow.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.